This message is presented to you by Pastor James Moore and New Life Community Church in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information or to donate, please visit newlifekc.com.
Good morning and welcome to December. Can you believe we're in the 12th month of the year 2020? What is this, the ninth month of our pandemic? And we're still standing, we're still going strong. Amen. I appreciate you guys being with us every week. And I know there's people from all across the country that are watching right now. I can say hi to you people down in Florida, people in Illinois, people that's all over the place. And I thank you for watching and being part of us. And so this morning, once again, I want to share a message with you. I want to start with a story about Cindy. Cindy was 6 years old, and she gets a little upset with her 8-year-old brother, Bobby. See, she's upset because Bobby told her he was going to buy a butterfly net to use next weekend, and he's going to use it to catch butterflies and put them in a jar for his collection. So for the next few nights before Cindy went to bed, she would pray, "Please, dear Jesus, let Bobby's net get holes in it so he won't hurt my beautiful butterflies. Please, Jesus, let Bobby's net get holes in it." Well, Mom and Dad heard her praying, and both were impressed with her childlike faith. And then on Saturday morning, while the family was eating breakfast, Cindy came bouncing into the kitchen, beaming, saying that Jesus had finally answered her prayers. "My butterflies are going to be just fine," she declared. Well, somewhat surprised at her confidence in God's intervention, Mom asked, "Why, Cindy? Why do you think your prayers will be answered today?" Cindy smiled knowingly and replied, "Because, Mom, last night I took my school scissors and I cut holes in Bobby's net." What a good illustration of a point we need to remember, a point we tend to forget, that prayer and works go hand in hand. We must pray and work for the things Christ taught and lived and died for. And it's the same in the church. When we commit to being faithful to Christ's church, of course, we promise to pray for it. And yet, we must not forget that along with this ongoing prayer, we must also add works and commitment. Now, prior to this very unusual year, most of us would have probably described our church here in Kansas City by the outward appearance of its physical facility. We might have said something like, you know, the building on Highway 169 with the lighted cross and the green canopies and the green entry gate. But 2020 has helped us realize that the church is actually not the building at all. It's the people. And it's through these people, through these brothers and sisters in Christ, that you and your family are affirmed in your faith and encouraged in your Christian walk. You see, you are the church. I am the church. We together are the church. An accurate definition of the church would be this: the family of God bound together in God's amazing love through Jesus Christ. And as a united family in Christ, the church strives to worship God, to love Him, and to join together to provide ministry to others as it presents the gospel message. See, at its best, the church is on a mission to minister to all people with what? With acceptance, love, and forgiveness. Isn't that what Christ is all about? I mean, being a Christian and being the church is the same thing. When we're born again into God's family, the first promise we make is a commitment to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, right? We ask Jesus to take up residence in our innermost being, and we allow His Spirit to make a difference in how we live and how we relate to others. See, when we say that Jesus is our Lord, we mean that He rules our entire life. In other words, Jesus is the example. He's the model by which we live. And when we say that Jesus is our Savior, we mean that He has saved us from selfishness and to selflessness. And we then express God's love for us by dedicating ourselves to serving Him and blessing others. Now, the second commitment we make when we become a Christian is to embrace the Christian faith as taught in the Scriptures. How many of you realize that the Bible is our book, and without it, we would not be the church? See, the Old Testament tells about our past heritage. The New Testament teaches about Christ and the church. And understanding the Scriptures, just like being a Christian, it's a lifelong process. So we must maintain a teachable spirit. We must be continually striving to understand more fully so we can know Christ better. Our times of worship, they should be times when we shift our burdens from our shoulders onto God's shoulders. It's when we choose to draw strength from the Word. And a third commitment we make when we become Christians is when we join a local church. At our annual business meeting that we are going to have this evening, we'll have the wonderful privilege of welcoming new members into our church family. And so this morning, I'd like to spend a few minutes answering a question I sometimes hear. And the question is, why should I join a local church? Why would I want to become a member? Well, perhaps the best way of finding the answer to that question is to answer this one. Why wouldn't a person want to join a local church? I've heard some people say, why join a local church? I don't need to be in a church to worship God. And if that's your reasoning, I suggest you consider what Jesus said in Luke 11:23. He said, whoever does not gather with me scatters. Or what it says in Hebrews 10:23-25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Or maybe you're one who says, I don't see why anybody needs to join a church. I mean, doesn't the Bible say that we all are saints? Why must I submit to anyone other than God? And if that's your thinking, then I suggest you consider what the Bible says in Ephesians. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. You see, according to this verse, God's people need to be equipped. Or consider Hebrews 13:17. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. See, we see here that leaders will be required to give an account for the followers. We're called to put our confidence in our leaders and to submit to the human authorities God has placed in our lives. This is affirmed in Romans 13:5. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities. Necessary. Not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord. Hey, here we're told to not only submit, we're commanded to appreciate those who have charge over us. Do you understand that God's purpose for authority is to protect us and develop us? See, he set up four basic structures of authority for that very purpose. They are family, church, government, and employment. And Christ is the head of all of them. But he delegates authority to husbands, pastors, government, and employers. Wives submit to their husbands because God holds the husband responsible for what happens in the home. Employees submit to their employer because God holds the employer responsible for what happens in the company. And church members follow the leadership of their pastors because God holds the pastor responsible for what happens in the church. Well, you say, Pastor, are you saying I'm not welcome to attend this church unless I become a member? No, I'm not saying that. You are welcome to attend New Life Community Church without being an official member. You'll always be welcome. Please know, however, that members do have advantages and privileges that are not available to non-members. For example, you may remember reading in 1 Corinthians that Jesus appeared to more than 500 believers after his resurrection. And you may also recall that Luke tells about Jesus having 70 disciples that he sent out two by two. And of course, the 12 apostles had far greater access, far greater privileges, far greater advantages than the 70 or the 500. And even among the 12, Peter, James, and John received even more time and more attention than the rest. As an analogy, the 500 could represent the Christians around the world. The 70 could represent those who attend our church. And the 12 could represent those who are committed members of our church. I suppose the 3 could represent those who serve as staff and church leaders. So yes, there are certainly some privileges associated with commitment. Here's another example. Every born-again believer is a member of the family of God. Absolutely true. Just like everyone born of my grandmother and my grandfather are related to me, right? Aunts, uncles, cousins, we're all of the same lineage. We are not, however, all of the same household, are we? According to the dictionary, family is defined as a household of individuals living together. Now, most of you know that my sister, Nancy McNeil, has a son named Tanner, who is my nephew. Now, I have known Tanner his whole life. I've watched him grow up. I've been to numerous family birthday parties where he blew out the candles and opened gifts. He's related to me. He's kinfolk. But Tanner has never lived at my house. He's not in my household. I'm not responsible for him, and he's not responsible to me. He may be in my extended family, but he's not in my immediate family. If some Sunday after church he went to dinner with Debbie and me, I might pay for his meal, but I might not. and I'm certainly not obligated to. And if I only have enough money to buy two meals, guess who's going to get left out? You see, in the same way, a person may be a born-again believer who attends our worship services for months or even years without becoming a member. They may enjoy the teaching and the preaching of God's Word and even share in the fellowship. And if they have trials and tribulations and struggles and they need ministry, we will try to help them as long as it doesn't interfere with the ministry needs of those who are committed members. And even though I want to, and I sometimes do, minister to them and bless them, I cannot and I will not do it if it means neglecting my assignment of caring for those who are committed members of our immediate family. Are you tracking with me? See, I think most of us would agree that our current society is responsible for teaching an entire generation to be takers instead of givers. We have people who expect the church to be there for them when they call, but they aren't willing to identify with that church body. In other words, they want free benefits. It's like expecting money without earning it. It's like expecting a woman to supply sex without marriage. It's like going out for pizza with the crowd and then not paying for your share. It's like always expecting the other person to drive and buy the gas while you ride free, never pitch in. In the church, it's like saying, although I don't trust you enough to submit to your leadership, I will be offended if you don't come running when I have a need. Now, however, if Debbie and I were to adopt you and you began to live in our home, if you're not ashamed to take my name, you're not ashamed to be a Moore. If you willingly share in the chores, help meet the needs of the family, hey, I'm there for you. Because you've now become a member of our household where we all contribute. We can depend on one another. You're now being responsible to the family, and so the family is now willing to be responsible for you. And let me take this opportunity to say how extremely grateful I am that so many of you do understand this. You've chosen to become members. You trust me, and therefore I trust you. In fact, in my opinion, we have the most wonderful household in our entire city, right here at New Life Community Church. And no, I'm not kidding. I really mean it. Oh, are we perfect? Not hardly. But we are honest, and we're committed, and we're in this together. We're family. And by the way, we're hoping more people will join us in membership, because the more that identify with the vision God's given us, the more effective we'll be in fulfilling that vision. And there are those who have expressed their desire to join this household of faith, and they are going to be received tonight. Praise the Lord. Now, I have met with those people to make certain they understand that becoming an official member means promising to be faithful to Christ through this church. This commitment goes beyond once a week church attendance. It means living that commitment with their prayers and their gifts and their service. It requires taking on the responsibility of representing Christ and this church every day, everywhere they are, whether they like it or not. You see, it's our presence also is important to this commitment of church membership. In joining, we promise to be faithful in our attendance. And for parents, this means actively involving yourself in the life of this church. In the Sunday morning Christian education hour, in the men's and women's groups, in the special productions, in the Bible studies, in small groups and more. Yes, I know we're under some restrictions right now, and some of these things aren't happening, but that's going to be temporary. You see, too many parents feel their duty stops with taking their children to church. But statistics show that if parents don't model their commitment by attending classes and celebrating worship services together as a family, children just don't take it seriously. Statistics bear this out. They prove it. When mom and dad both attend regularly, 72% of children remain faithful when grown. When only dad attends, 55% of children remain faithful. When only mom attends, it drops to only 15% of children remain faithful. And when neither parent attends, 6% of children remain faithful. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1:30 that you are engaged in the same conflict, which you saw and now hear to be mine. You're engaged in the same conflict that you see as my conflict. In other words, we're not the first followers of Christ to face a society with opposing values. So don't be discouraged. We can do it. Human beings have faced obstacles and resistance in the world since the very beginning. So remember, our real enemies are Satan, the world that ignores Christ, and our own sinful desires. And remember that all believers are part of a godly team contending for the gospel. The real challenge is for us to stand together and function in unity as one team. The local church is a representative of the kingdom of God. We are all part. We are one cell in the body of Christ. And we must, in this local body, stand together and function in unity. In a really, really old issue of Life magazine, some of you don't know what Life magazine is. You've never heard. There used to be magazines, the two big magazines were Life and Look. Google it, you'll see. Anyway, in a really, really old issue of Life magazine, a series of black and white photos illustrated a tragic story on a large wheat farm in Nebraska. And the first picture was of a dimly lit kitchen, and a distressed mother was surrounded by people attempting to comfort her through a long night. And the article explained the situation. She, during the previous day, while mom tended to farm chores, her little 3-year-old boy had wandered away from the house and out into the wheat fields. I mean, she turned away for just a moment, and then he was gone. Well, the boy was too short to be seen above the wheat stalks, and the father and mother had frantically searched all day. Finally, at dusk, they called their neighbors, and through the long, cold night, men searched with lanterns and flashlights. Then at dawn, someone had an idea. And more than 50 people held hands in a long line and began to sweep through the fields. Photos showed a human chain circling the house in ever-widening circles through the vast fields. And finally, around noon, they found the boy. He was dead. The last picture showed the father, his face streaked with tears and dirt, carrying the precious body from the fields. As that man emerged from among the wheat stalks, he was quoted as saying, "If only we had joined hands sooner, his life could have been saved." So, why should you become a member? Why do I encourage people to identify with the local church and dedicate time and talent and finances to a common cause? Because the sooner we join hands, the more people will be saved. You know, friends, we spend so much of our time and energy debating and arguing over insignificant issues that we often completely miss our main purpose for existence, which is bringing glory to God. And glory is brought to God when people acknowledge that Jesus is the only way to salvation, the only way to eternal life. It was Jesus who said, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." He also said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." So how about it? Can we agree on the basic conditions of salvation, even if we may disagree about certain ethics and practices? Hey, let's not major on the minors. Jesus is the only way to God. Do you agree? It's the blood of Jesus that pays for our sin. Agree? Salvation is a gift of God that cannot be earned. Do you agree? Well, that's all that matters. If we're right about those three things and wrong about everything else, we'll still be all right. Now, don't misunderstand me. I do believe it's important to mature in Christ by studying the Word and by learning what you believe and why you believe it and applying God's truth in your life. But no matter how much we learn, we must always remember we don't know everything. And if we're willing to admit that none of us knows everything, we must also be gracious enough to allow others to sometimes practice Christianity a little differently than us, as long as they're basing it on what they see in God's Word. At the same time, however, we must also never be reluctant, never be shy about stating or standing on the Christian doctrines that have been revealed to us in the Bible. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your Word. We ask you today to forgive us for our pride and our arrogance. We also ask that you draw us ever deeper into a committed relationship with you through the local church. We're so grateful for all you do, and we willingly embrace your divine plan of using the church as a gathered force of believers who encourage and minister to one another, knowing that together we can make a greater impact than we can individually. So thank you for saving us and calling us to labor with you and for you. And finally, Lord, we humbly ask for continued strength additional tolerance and increased faith to complete the work you began of reuniting lost people with their Creator. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Before I close today, I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to speak specifically to those of you who do not live in the Kansas City area. First of all, thank you for watching our online services, giving us the privilege of ministering to you during this season of life. We pray regularly for those of you that we know, and we also pray for you who may watch anonymously. Please know that you are always welcome to worship with us online. However, if you live in Iowa or Florida or Illinois or any other location outside of a 1 hour driving distance from our church, I encourage you to also plug into a local church near you so you can begin enjoying in-person fellowship. Now, if you happen to live in a city or state that doesn't allow you to meet together right now, I still encourage you to begin looking for a church in your area where you can begin attending as soon as the restrictions are lifted. Of course, internet, television ministries, along with the tens of thousands of churches that now offer online services, they have certainly been wonderful blessings, especially during a year dominated by a pandemic. And there's certainly nothing inherently wrong with watching or listening to preachers other than your pastor. My son Alex has a number of preachers he enjoys listening to. And God has used pastors like Andy Stanley and Craig Groeschel to speak truth into my life. But if I'm in the hospital, or if a loved one passes away, or I'm struggling with a sinful habit, or if my marriage is in trouble, there is no online ministry capable of providing the fellowship, discipleship, and pastoral care that I preached about today. So God's plan for your life, it requires the guidance and direction and protection you'll receive from the pastors that He has graciously placed throughout our nation and the world. So step number one in fulfilling His will is to find a local church and there submit yourself to God-ordained authority. Now you may ask, how do I know which church I should choose? And that's a great question. First, the church you choose must believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, the infallibility and inspiration of the entire Bible, salvation only through the atoning blood of Christ, the new birth, meaning the born-again experience, and must believe in the existence of a literal heaven and a literal hell. And secondly, remember, Christianity is not a spectator sport. So the church you choose should provide opportunity for you to be involved in serving and building God's kingdom. Go to that church. Offer your talents, your finances, and your energy to reach your community with the good news of Jesus Christ. Oh, and one final thing. If you live in the Kansas City area and you don't have a church home, I invite you to consider joining us in person here at New Life Community Church as soon as you feel comfortable doing so. I'm convinced you'll be genuinely surprised at how much more fulfilling, how much different the worship can be when we are together in the church sanctuary. You'll find a congregation of loving, caring people and a pastor who is committed to helping you reach your full potential so you can one day hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Meanwhile, I encourage you to gather with your family and friends for a 15-minute per week study on the coming of Christ. Simply go to newlifekc.com/advent, download the Advent Study Guide. It's a free, easy-to-use devotional tool that will help keep Christ in our thoughts this Christmas season. So, until I see you again, either in person or online, may God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more information, please visit newlifekc.com.